Okay, so like I said, we're going to do a little bit of a lighter sugya now. The last sugya we did in Bava Basra before we did the Purim sugya was Macha. And if you remember, then in the middle of the Macha sugya, the Gemara has this very surprising claim. Let's just remind ourselves what it was.
That even if you don't, if you tell us, like, not to go tell other
people. Wait. The Gemara was trying to figure out how many people you do. How many people Macha is in front of, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And the Gemara had said, if the Gemara had suggested that if it's in front of three, why would it be three? So that would hang on whether or not you hold, like, the statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that Kol Milta Tam Rabba Beit Klasa Lizba Mishum Lishna Bisha. Anything said in front of three people has no halacha of Lashon Hara. Okay? And as we noted at the time, this is a very bizarre statement, meaning makashur, right? What's the connection between mecha and lashon hara? You know, what does any of that mean? Meaning, is mecha lashon hara, or is it equivalent to lashon hara, or does it spread like lashon hara? Right, that was the problem that we dealt with, and therefore this becomes one of the two main figures in Shas to deal with the question of lashon hara. And what I sent you was my lengthy treatment of it in modern stock. You know, it was fun to write for that because it was every week 2,500 to 3,500 words. So, you know, yeah, so there's 39 of them. So last summer I started working on it as a book and then, like, you know, things were just crazy. I really do want to publish it as a book and, like, update it and things like that, but it's like 500 pages long. But in order to understand this sugya, we need to figure out what Lashon Hara is. Okay? So, I printed out the Makara from when I learned this again many, many years ago, just so you have them. I'm not going to do all of them. I'm not sure what I'm going to draw on yet, so I just gave you everything. It's three pages. It's not six pages, by which I mean, you know. But, there. But it's not, we're not going to go through everything. I just didn't know what I want to draw on because, you know, I want you at least just understand the basics of the sugya. Okay. So, if you didn't know what Lashon Hara was, if you had no idea what Lashon Hara was, okay, just put it on the side for now, just you have it. If you didn't know what Lashon Hara was, and you looked at our sugya, and the Gemara had equated Mecha'a with something called Lishna Bisha, would you have automatically guessed that Lishna Bisha is what we call Lashon Hara, as gossip?
I think it lacks the key quality of raw.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. That's perfect. Right? Meaning the problem is, as Rami notes, is that the way we think of Lishna Bisha, which, by the way, is just Aramaic for Lashon Hara, if that wasn't clear, right? Bish in Aramaic is bad, and Lishna, if you didn't figure out that's Lashon, then, you know, fine. So what would you have said? If you didn't know anything about Lashon Hara, what would you have thought it was based on our sugya alone?
Oh, it's the idea that
yeah, so what is Lishna Bisha? Right? Meaning, if you didn't know, if you weren't pre-programmed to say that Lashon Hara means gossip, true gossip, then what would you have thought our sugya is?
I guess the accusation.
So the problem is you wouldn't know what it is exactly, meaning it's not clear in our sugya what it is. Right? So this is why, and again, I'm not going to go through everything. If you want the full details, you can read it. But I gave you my basic thoughts on the sugya in those units, right? And you can, I hope it's clear. But here's the thing. We are trained, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, we are trained to think in the way the Rambam thinks and the Chafetz Chaim adopts, which is that Lashon Hara means true gossip. Motzi Shem Ra, based on the case where a husband falsely accuses his wife of adultery during the Erusin period, we take that Motzi Shem Ra to mean, in all cases, false information, slander. Rechilut, which is what it's actually called in the Torah, right? Lo Telech Rachil Ba'amecha, don't be a gossip mongerer or something like that, a talebearer. But Rochel literally means a peddler, so peddler of information. The Rambam understands is where I tell someone, someone else was talking about them, something like that, right? Avat Loshon Hara is the Derabanan, right? Where I, for example, say something that will cause you to gossip. Like I say, Yaakov is the best. He's just the best guy in Shear, right? Knowing that that'll make Rami angry and Rami will then start bad-mouthing.
He's
right? Like that. But as I mentioned, this is not at all accepted in Rishonim. This is the position of the Rambam. However, the simple implication of certain sugya, like the sugya in Shabbat, is that Mofti Shem Ra, and this is the way that Hasidim accepts it as well, Mofti Shem Ra is what we call Lashon Hara. Meaning that when the Gemara says Mofti Shem Ra, it means gossip, true gossip. And what we call Rechilut is more like Lashon Hara. Okay? All that is still sticking within the basic framework of gossip, slander, etc. But there's a totally another view, which is that the Gemara in Yoma Dabdalat Amud Bet tells us that that if someone tells you something in confidence, you are not allowed to share that information, right? Actually, yomim lo emor. Right? Until someone says, go say it, you're not allowed to share, and I didn't put it on the sheet, right? That I gave you in what I sent you, right? That you're not allowed to breach confidentiality. Now there's a machloket, is that usher, or is it midat chassidut, right? Is it technically usher, or is it just, you know, a pious thing? But there's a whole category of breaching confidentiality and why it's wrong and what exactly it entails. And a lot of these overlap. But if I had told you that there were Rishonim who believed that Lashon Hara was not gossip, but was breaching confidentiality, how would you read our sugya? Would that help you read our sugya?
I mean, it would have absolutely nothing to do with...
nothing?
There's one specific case that you are mentioning.
In our sugya, right here in Baba Basra, if I told you, according to the position, that macha is only in front of three, that's because komilta dimit amra bape klata lit bamishum bisha bisha, anything said in front of three people is no longer subject to Lashon Hara. And you thought that Lashon Hara meant breaching confidentiality. There's actually a very neat way to read our sugya, which is, if you think that something said in front of three people is now considered public, and therefore you no longer have to keep it confidential, because saying something in front of three is what makes it public, then what? Then being mocha in front of three people will be public. It won't be private. Since macha has to be public and not private, if you think that something that has been said in front of three is considered public, right? And that is a very neat way of reading our sugya, right? Then if you think that the word, the phrase, Lishna Bisha, Lashon Hara, means don't breach confidentiality, and you think the phrase, anything that's said in front of three is no longer considered private, and therefore there's no need to maintain confidentiality because it's no longer confidential, it's now public, right? So you say, if you think that the magic number is three, after which, if Yaakov tells us secret, quote-unquote, to me, Rami, and Ezra, so now it's not considered confidential. He doesn't mean it to be a secret because he said it in front of all of us. So then the macha is not considered something that was told in confidence and was being protected, was being hidden from, right, from the squatter. There's a very neat way of reading our sugya. So compelling, in fact, that the Ritva on our sugya, and this is on the sheet, if you look at the Ritva, look at the Ritva, it's on page 4 here, right? I took these sources, I first learned the sugya with the right clapper many years ago. Just turn to page 4, towards the end of the page, the Ritva on our sugya says, Litva mishum lishna bisha, perish mishum gilui sod. Perish Mishum Gilui Sod. He says, when our Gemara says that machal is similar to lashon hara. It doesn't mean gossip. It means confidentiality. Because what's the rule in our sugya? That machal must be said in a public, not private way. So if there's a prohibition to reveal secrets, so what are we learning from that sugya? We're saying, look, something is considered private if it's said in front of one or two people. If it's said in front of three, it therefore is no longer in confidence. It's considered public. And whatever is considered public for the purpose of saying that you no longer have to keep a secret because it's not secret, that's the same standard that we use to figure out whether a macha is public or not. Right? If you look at the next door here, the Hashlama, writing in Provence, says the same thing. So, he says, you know what Lashon Hara is everywhere in Shas? Breach of confidentiality. That's it. That's what it means. If you told someone something in confidence and they violate that confidence, that's Lashon Hara. What's called private? Saying it in front of one or two people. If you say it in front of three, it's considered public. And macha is not gossip, but it is. Or it can't be secret. It has to be a public statement. Right? Meaning that's the whole point. Is that if you think you need three, why do you need three? Because you think anything said in less than three is said in confidence. And macha can't be said in confidence. It has to be a public declaration. And therefore, the point at which something is no longer secret, and therefore it is permitted to continue telling the information on the presumption that it's not said in confidence, is the point at which macha is public enough to get back to the squatter. That's all the sugya is saying.
I will admit this is a difficult read, considering how we later on in the
sugya. Why is this a difficult read? It's very easy. It's a very neat read.
If the protesters said, I'm going to protest in front of you three people, but you're not allowed to go further.
That might have implications for other things, but for this moment...
It seems as if they are trying to establish some level of confidentiality, and
the point is that the issue here is confidence. That the issue here is confidentiality, not gossip. Right? It's all about under what circumstances is information considered public. And if you look here at the top of that page, Rav Achai Gaon, Rav Achai Gaon actually thinks that this is true of all Lashon Hara. Whatever we mean, say Lashon Hara anywhere in Shas, all it means is breach of confidentiality. If you look at Rav Achai Gaon, Rav Achai Gaon says, good morning, Eli. Rav Achai Gaon says, Shilta, da'asir lahon, levit Yisrael ishtu'uye, lishnabisha, chan al-chavre. It is forbidden for someone to say Lashon Hara about others. Okay, what does that mean? So then he quotes the whole Gemara. Erchin, let's skip what's in the bracket. And then it's to skip after the brackets, and he says, "Vilomi boy milta deleta to oser leilinish lemeimer du shakra." Obviously, something that's not true you can't say. That's called lying. Elafilo milta deite, even something which is true. Va'amar leyahu min dahu leloev leirshuta lemeimer acharina. And Yaakov told it to Rami and said, "Don't tell somebody else." Oser leilemeimer. It is usher to say, and then he equates it with the sugya that I mentioned in Yom HaTavzalit, the Omer of Nasya, Bireid der Rav Menasya, the Rav Menasya Rabbah, Minayin lo merda vercha lechaveiro shehu b'val yomar ashe yomar lo emor, der yomar lo leich v'emor. How do you know that someone must keep a secret? Right? If someone tells you something, it's meant to be in confidence, unless he tells you, go and spread the information. Shneimar, as it says, Ve'daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, God told Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, tell the Jews saying, Amara Vayomer Hashem Moshe Amor Lekohanim, etc., which means only when he tells you, tell him. Biram, Sarah, Ilu, Echad, Emer, Lemitla, Kame, Beit, Lata, Mal, Amazel, Memer, Lemare, Alechmine. But what if something was said in front of three people? Can you now spread it? So, Kevin, Amar, March, Emer, Lechem, or Beit, Lata, Nami, Kevin, Delo, Amar, Lechem, or Lo. Do you say that since in general we require explicit permission? So even if you said something in front of three people, it's still forbidden to spread it further. O Dilma, or do you say that the only time there's presumed confidence is where someone said it in a private setting? But if they said it in front of three, which is considered public, but if he said in front of three, who keeps, it's already considered public. And therefore, by the context, it's as if you gave implicit permission. Right? So that's like saying, look, I post my shir online. So obviously, all of you can say whatever I said in shir in public. Because, as you know, if there's something I don't want online, I wait to turn on the recorder. Right? But once I put it on the recorder, I know it's out there in the world. So that's in front of three. We'll come back to whether there might be gradations in public. We'll come back to that question. But for now. Tashmad, Amarava Varavuna, so Milta da Amit Amra, Babe Lata, Aimam, Yishum Lishnabisha, Kazam, Ramalamar, Davalech Varasya. Once you say something in front of three people, it's considered public. End of story. So therefore, there's a whole group of Rishonim and Ingonim who say, Lashon Hara has nothing to do with gossip. That might be also for other reasons. But that's not what Lashon Hara is. That's not what Lishna Bisha is. Lishna Bisha is the violation of confidence. And that's why it's equivalent to Macha. Because if you said something in front of two, that's considered private. That's not considered a public critique. In front of three, it's considered a public critique. How do we know? Because if someone tells you something in private, you have to consider it private and you can't tell someone else's secret. If they tell it to you in a public setting, there's no assumption that it's considered private. What's the magic number? Three. And that's how they read the sugya. The Ritva has a slight tweak on it, though. Because the Ritva himself, Rabbi Chaigon and the Hashlama, say that Lashon Hara in Shas only ever means breaching confidentiality. The problem is that the sugya in Erechin, the main sugya in Erechin that you've probably heard at some point in your life, about how bad Lashon Hara is, all those sugyas in Erechin, really do sound like it's about gossip and not breaching confidentiality. So, Rabbi Chaigon will probably reread the whole sugya. The Ritva has an even more shocking read. And the Ritva tells you, if you look at the next line, it says, over Erechin, Amar la mishum lishna bisha demanda amar le, v'zeh min ha lishonot amit chalfin betalmud. The Ritva says, I'm going to confuse you. You know I'm going to confuse you? By telling you that Lashon Hara is one of those things that doesn't mean the same thing in every sugya and shas. Sometimes it means gossip, and sometimes it means breaching confidentiality. How are you supposed to know which one is which?
No.
Context, right? Meaning, the Ritva thinks that there are two prohibitions included under Lashon Hara. One is breaching confidentiality. The other is gossip. Which one is arsuga? Breaching confidentiality. The sugya and Erechin might be talking about gossip, but that's irrelevant for our sugya.
I see here, I guess the Lashon Hara
is a very broad problem. Yeah, that's what the Ritva thinks. Okay. Okay. Good. Now, that's one vision, okay? That's one vision that believes that what we're talking about, Lashon Hara here, is not gossip, it's breaching confidentiality. And the rule is, by breaching confidentiality, that all you need to do is make sure that it was public. If it was public, then you're not breaching confidentiality. And the only thing you need to make sure of by Macha is that it was done in public, not in private. That's how they read the sugya. Okay, good. The last thing we're going to do is come and defend it based on what we normally think of as Lashon Hara. Okay? But before that, let me introduce you to other visions of Lashon Hara that you've never heard of. Okay? But to do that, look at the first source. Go back to the beginning here. Let's look at the sugya as it appears in Erchin, which is the main sugya about Lashon Hara. And I want you to erase from your mind everything you know about Lashon Hara, and I want to read the sugya with you. Okay? Got it? First source. I probably should have numbered it, but whatever. Right, first source, Erchin. Heichi Dami Lishna Bisha. What is Lashon Hara? So now, if you've never read the sugya, what do you expect the next words to be?
It's
yeah, okay, good. Give me a definition.
Bisha has negative.
Great. Here's what the Gemara says. Amar Rabba, Kigon da Amar Ikanura Beplanya. For example, if someone says there is a fire burning in his house.
That's it.
Referring
to presumably
fire in a stove.
Like on Shabbat. Like
no. So yeah. So suddenly you're all influenced by the Rambam and the Chacham Chaim. You're like, it's a bad. Just read the sugya.
Oh, sorry.
What?
Fire.
No. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, My Ka'avid. What? And therefore what? So what's wrong exactly with saying there is a fire? Gilui milta ba'almahu. That's just telling information. That's neither gossip, that's not a breach of confidentiality, that's nothing. Right? So Ella demafik bilish nabisha. Rather, it must be that he said it in a bad way. Meaning, the Amar Hecha Mishtakach Nura Ela Beplanya Dika Besara Vechavare. It's where he says, where else could you find a fire except there, that they're always eating? Right? Or, well, I put information on it. There is a fire in his house because there is meat. There is food cooking. I put a negative spin on it. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, great. So you got to figure out why, in God's name, this is the paradigm of Lashon Hara. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, kol milta dimit amra ba'apei mara litva mishum lishna bisha. Rabba says anything said in front of three, there is no Lashon Hara. Now, let's come to this line for a minute. There are two very different ways of reading this line. Yes?
I would interpret this as neither more. I say it's not what you say, but in what frame of reference are you saying it? Is it, are you saying it? Should be negative or should be positive?
Oh, very good. So there are going to be several Rishonim that take Yaakov's approach. Let's just focus for a moment on the ambiguity in this line. Kol milta dimit amra ba'apei mara litva mishum lishna bisha. What does that mean? Forget for what lishna bisha means. There are two very different things it can mean. One thing it can mean is if the original speaker said it in front of three people, then, henceforth, there is no Lishna Bisha. Right? That's what we talked about until now. Right, Rami? Right? That if Yaakov told something in public, then I can now spread it because there's no assumption of confidentiality. What's the other way of understanding it? If you say something publicly, it is not Lashon Hara. Meaning, if I gossip publicly, that's mutter. Right? Right? The words, technically, can mean both. Now, within that latter understanding, the next line of the Gemara makes a lot of sense, which the Gemara says, Amar Leh, Kol Shekein, what are you talking about? Chutzpah, if you say it in public, not only is it Lashon Hara, it's Chutzpah V'Lishna Bisha. And Chutzpah means the same thing as Gemara that you think it means. Chutzpah, right? And then the Gemara says, aha! Amar Leh, Anna Kiribiyoshi Sfirali, don't worry, I can tie this all together because I hold like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says, Miyamai lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'chorai. In my entire life, I never had to turn around when I was saying something because, why didn't I have to turn around? No, because I didn't care who was standing behind me. Right? So I'm a rabbi, my time, anything said in front of three, and now the Gemara says, Sorry, Kamilta Madamre Mara. I said sorry in front of the I'm sorry. I read to the end of the line. Anything which is said in front of the master, meaning the person about whom you're talking about, there's no lashon hara. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? If you gossip to someone's face, that's chutzpah and lashon hara. And the Gemara says, no, it's like Rabbi Yossi, who says that I've never turned around, I never had a problem, I could always say something to someone's face. And then in the context of Rabbi Yossi celebrating, insulting people to people's faces, Rabbah says, aha, kol milta demit amre ba'pei plasa litva mishum lishna bisha. That anything instead of something said in front of three is not lashon hara. My time, chavre chavre itle, chavre de chavre chavre itle, because your friend's friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, etc. So, what in the name of God does this sugya mean? So, if you erase everything that you ever knew about lashon hara from your mind, then you might come to the very radical conclusion of the Urayim. So turn to the second page here. The Urayim has the following reading of the Sugya. He says, okay, here's the information I know from the Sugya Nerachin. Okay, let's review it. One is, the Gemara says, if you say Lashon Hara in front of the person about whom you're talking, it's not Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, that's impossible. Not only is that Lashon Hara, it's chutzpah. The Gemara responds and says, don't worry, it worked according to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi said, I never bothered turning around when I said something, meaning I was willing to say it to somebody's face. And then the Gemara says, seemingly, that that's connected to the rule that if you say something in front of three, that's not Lashon Hara. So, the Urayim puts that information together and he says, I have a chiddush for you. You know what Lashon Hara is? It's not gossip. It's not breaching confidentiality. You know what it is? I'll tell you his thesis and I'll read it inside and show you how beautifully it works in the sugya. You know what it means? Lashon hara is one thing and one thing only. Hypocrisy. Insulting someone to somebody's face, no problem. The only thing that's usher in lashon hara is insulting someone when you're not willing to say it to their face. And therefore, you know why it's not Lashon Hara if you say it to someone's face? Because not hypocritical. And you know why Rabbi Yossi, that's why Rabbi Yossi said something's not Lashon Hara if I didn't have to turn around. Why? Because if I was afraid to turn around, meaning I looked over my shoulder to see who was there, what does that show? Then I'm worried about who's going to hear it. But if I'm willing to say it to somebody's face, I'm not being hypocritical, I'm just being rude and mean. That's not Lashon Hara. And that's why if I say something in front of three, now, according to the Urayim, who says it in front of three? Not the original speaker, not the... If you say Lashon Hara in front of three, by definition, it's not Lashon Hara. Why? Exactly! Because Lashon Hara isn't gossip. Lashon Hara is hypocrisy. It's where I badmouth people without being willing to take the consequences. But if I'm willing to say it publicly, then... it's not Lashon Hara. And how does that connect to our sugya? Very simple. If I protest, but I'm not willing to say it in such a way that it gets back to the moat, to the squatter, that's not a protest. But if I'm willing to say it to your face, or say it publicly so that it gets back to you, that's fine. Urayim says, Lashon Hara is not gossip, it's not preaching confidentiality, it's saying something without having the courage to say it to somebody's face. If you're willing to insult someone to their face, then maybe it's also for other reasons, right? Oh, no, a dvarim or something, but that's not Lashon Hara. So look at the Urayim. The Urayim says, Rachil lo telech, do not be a gossip monger. Siva hayotzer v'parashat kedoshim lo tasu avel b'mishpat lo telech rachil b'mecha. The Holy One commanded in parashat kedoshim, don't be a gossip monger.
Does the Urayim also think that it has to be a negative? Like, you have to be meaning negatively to one?
I would assume so, yeah. It sounds like it, but let's see what he says.
Like, there are examples where, like, you say something that you want in a positive light, but you still don't want to know about
it. Yeah, so let's see what he says. He says, "Vamrinu benarash and itvatita." We see in the Gemara in Ksubot, "Azar lamochi shem rami na'im idelotel rachel amecha." Rabbi Nachman over in Nishmar to be called a vara. And then it gets into the whole sugya. Fine. And he skipped down. He says, "Uledivrei amotzi azharad." Skip down 3 lines. Hamotzi azharad lamotzi shemra mikan. The people will learn out motzi shemra from the case where a husband badmouths his wife and says she committed adultery. Doesn't that sound like it's gossip? Right? Doesn't that make it sound like lashon hara motzi shemra or gossip or slander? But if that's the case, it's got to be lichtov. Shapir shucham be'erchin, heichidami lishna bishik, kugon damar l'dishtach and urele planet ishtiche bishra v'kavre. I need to understand what the Gemara wanted for my life when it said if there's meat in somebody's house, it's lashon hara. Perush apilu zehve lashon hara. Kevin de makvede b'lishna bishu. If you say something in a negative way, it's lashon hara, even if it's not objectively negative. So yes, the Uram definitely knows it has to be at least negative or something that you mean as an insult. Definitely you actually insult someone. The Kaimalan ki Rabbi Yossi, we passed in Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer me olam lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'choray. I never had to say something and turn around. Perish, lir ot im yavo oto ploni shamarti, alav shalom amarti davar shal yiti omer b'fnei bailin. Meaning, I never had to worry that what I was saying was something I would have said, wouldn't have said to his face. Dahachi Kaimalan. Because this is how we paskin. Da kam le rava kavate, as rava paskin, da ama rava perish yersh be'erchen, perik yersh be'erchen, lahakel kol milta dimit amre ba'petlata litva mishum lishna bisha, that anything said in front of 3 people is not lashon hara, amre le abaye kol shikin chutzvid lishna bisha, amre le anakar b'yosi shvirli, amre le v'chule. V'taima, what's the logic for all these rules? Taima de Rabbi Yossi Yisrael midichzev holeich rachel nechoshed u'barzel. Because Rabbi Yossi says, what does it mean holeich rachel? Perish. Sha'omer atzmo ohavo. It's only a problem when you say you love someone, v'huson'o, but you really hate him. Lomar alav ra'ot shelo b'fanav, and therefore you badmouth him when he's not there. Umashma bishnei enyanin nechoshed u'barzel, and you imply different things, right? Bronze and iron, meaning you say one thing, but it looks you present it as the other. V'nilmod nami mirichilato shel tziva, just like by tziva, dechseva yeragel b'avdechal Adoni Melech, who, you know the story of tziva? You're like, what is that? So when David was fleeing Yerushalayim from Avshalom, his son, so Mephibosheth, who was the Yehonatan's son who lived as part of David's household, didn't leave Yerushalayim with David. So Tziva, who was Mephibosheth's servant, came to David and he told him, why didn't Mephibosheth follow David into exile? Because Mephibosheth, since he was from Shaul's family, was happy that David was finally being kicked out of being king, and thought this was his chance to come back to being part of the royal family. And therefore, David punished Mephibosheth by taking away all of his property and giving it to Tziva. But then when David returned victorious, he said to Mephibosheth, why didn't you follow me? And what did Mephibosheth say? Because I'm crippled. And I asked Tziva to get me an animal, and Tziva ran away, so I was stuck because I can't walk. Okay? That's the story. And David, in the end, didn't know who was telling the truth, so he split the property. Half to Tziva, half to Mephibosheth. But that's the case. So, and he says, what was the key there? V'hatam shlo b'fnei Mephibosheth havai. The whole point was that Tziva could say that, not in front of Mephibosheth. Right? He could pretend to be loyal to David and pretend to be loyal to Mephibosheth. That was the problem. That was the problem. But if he said it to his face, none of this would have happened. So, let's review what we've seen, okay? Ezra, Eli, let's review what we've seen, okay? So again, the Gemara says, if you hold that you can only, that you have to be mochel in front of 3 people, that's following the principle that Lishna Bisha said in front of 3 people is not Lashon Hara. And we said, what does that mean? Right? So, it's very hard to figure out what that means according to our normal understanding following the Rambam that Lishna Bisha or Lashon Hara means gossip. Because what does gossip have to do with Macha? We're going to come back to tomorrow, what it might mean. Right? But today what I want to do is analyze a model you've never heard of. Right? So what we said is, we follow the Rambam's assumption that Rechilut is right to tell someone that someone was speaking about them. Lashon Hara is true information that I gossip. Moti Shem Ra is slander, is false information. In that whole scheme, it's very hard to understand what our sugya is talking about. But there's a whole other vision. The Gemara in Yoma tells us that you're not supposed to breach confidentiality either because it's Asur or it's Mitat Chasidu, but whatever it is. Several Rishonim and Gaonim, Rabbi Chai Gaon, the Hashlama say, Lashon Hara in Shas does not mean gossip. It means breaching confidentiality. And this is how it works. If the original speaker said something in front of one or two people, you can assume he meant that it should stay in confidence. If he said it in front of three, that shows that it's public, and therefore he didn't mean for it to be a secret, and therefore you can now spread the information. That's what we mean by Lashon Hara, is breaching confidentiality. And when it's said in public, there is no implied confidence. Why does that connect to the sugya of Macha, very simply? Because Macha needs to be said in public and not private. So if the point at which we assume that something is considered public and therefore not subject to the rules of confidentiality is said in front of three people, so then if Macha is said in front of one or two people, that meant you tried to keep it private, which means you didn't want it to get back to the squatter, that's a problem. But if you said it in front of three people, then what? Clearly you had no problem getting it back to the squatter because you were saying it publicly, because three is the standard at which something is considered to be public. And that's why it's considered a good macha, because it was said publicly. Based on this, Rabbi Chai Gaon and Aslam have said that Lashon Hara only ever means breaching confidentiality. In a variation on that theme, the Ritva says no. Sometimes Lishna Bisha means gossip. Sometimes it means breaching confidentiality. In our sugya, it just means breaching confidentiality. That's one vision. Second vision, the Uraian. The Uraian goes to the central sugya in Erechin, which links, seemingly, three different rules. One is that Lashon Hara said in front of the person you're talking about is not Lashon Hara. Two is that Rabbi Yossi said he never had to turn around when he was saying Lashon Hara. Or it wasn't Lashon Hara because he never had to turn around and look over his shoulder and see who he was saying in front of. And three is that anything said in front of three people is not Lashon Hara. The Uraim, based on all of this, presents a totally different vision, which is that Lashon Hara is not gossip, it's not slander, it's not breaching confidentiality, it's gossiping in a hypocritical way, meaning talking badly about someone behind their back but pretending to their face that you're their friend. That's the only thing which is Lashon Hara. Insulting someone to their face is not Lashon Hara. It might be something else. It might be Onad Dvarim. It might be hurting someone verbally. It might be verbal abuse. Probably is. But it's not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means being two-faced. And therefore, he explains the three rules of the Gemara as follows. If I say something to your face, it's not Lashon Hara. Why? Because I'm not being two-faced. If I say something and I don't have to worry about who's behind me, that's not Lashon Hara. Because even if you're not here, if I couldn't care less whether you found out about it, and therefore I don't care if you're behind me, that's not Lashon Hara, because I'm not being two-faced. I would say it whether or not you're here. And if I say it in front of three people, it's not Lashon Hara, because... Exactly, because I said it publicly. I don't care what you... I'm happy for you to know that I hate you. I hate your guts. That's fine. Right? What does that have to do with Macha'a? Again, the whole point is that if it's about being two-faced, in order to be two-faced, what do you need? An element of confidentiality. Right? Here, not because Lashon Hara is breaching confidentiality, right? But because Lashon Hara is being two-faced. In order to be two-faced, that requires that the information that you say is private. But if it's public, then this facade that you like someone doesn't work because you're saying it publicly. Everyone will find out that you really badmouth them, right? So again, similar to the other positions, the common denominator between the two is simply Something is not lashon hara if it's said in a public way. Similarly, macha is only macha if it's said in front of a public way. What's the magic number? 3. Now the difference though, the major difference though, between how they read the line technically though, is kol milta demit amre ba'apei tlata, is who is saying it in front of 3. According to the shita that what we're talking about is breaching confidentiality, the key is that the information has to be said in front of 3 by whom? The original speaker, right? Because then it's no longer... No, I'm sorry. In this sense, they agree. But they're saying it slightly differently, right? And the first one is, if I say it in front of 3, it's not a secret, therefore it can be spread. Right? No, sorry. No, this is right. I got it right. Exactly what I meant. Right, of course, back to what I said. No, it was right. According to the sheet of Gilui Sod, the way you read the line is as follows. If the original person told his secret in front of 3, then I can now spread it. Right? That doesn't mean that if Yaakov said it in front of 1 person, meaning he told me a secret in confidence, that I can say it in front of everyone. That's not true. If the original information is said in front of 3, it's no longer Lashon Hara. The Urayim says, no. Lashon Hara is mutter if said in front of 3 people. Right? Meaning, by definition, if you say it publicly, it isn't Lashon Hara. According to the Ritva, that's not true, right? If Yaakov tells me something in private and then I put it on the news, right, or I put it on Facebook, or I put it on whatever, that's usur, right? Because I can't breach his confidentiality in public, that makes it worse. If he said it in public, then I can continue saying it because it clearly wasn't a secret. The Urayim says, no. If I gossip publicly, it's not gossip, it's not Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara is only being two-faced. So if I gossip about you in private, so then I'm being two-faced. That's Lashon Hara. But if I get up in front of the yeshiva and badmouth Yaakov, so now Yaakov knows he doesn't want to come to my house for Shabbos, because I've made it very clear that I don't like him, right? Luckily, I do like Yaakov, but that's why I can use it as a theoretical, right? But you see that even linguistically, they're putting the kol milta de minam rabbi tlata at different stages, right? The Urayim is saying, if I say something in front of 3, that's fine. The Gilui Sod position is saying, no, if it was originally said in front of 3, then I can spread it further. But what you see is that the common denominator between the Urayim, the Ritva, Rav Chaigon, all those people, the confidentiality or the two-faced svara, is that the only reason they think this has anything to do with macha'a is because they think macha'a, because they think lishnabisha is not gossip. Right? And that's why it connects to our sugya. Right? It's purely about either confidentiality, which makes a lot of sense, and therefore it's just a question at what point is something considered public or not, or Lashon Hara is about being two-faced, which requires confidentiality, and therefore, again, that's why it connects to our sugya. So, what we're going to do next time, or tomorrow, I guess, is, okay, then how does the Rambam, or that whole school of thought, who thinks that, no, Lashon Hara actually means gossip, what does that have to do with our sugya? Right? What does that do to the sugya? So the positions that are going to deal with it are, so just to give you the heads up, who's going to think this? Rashbam, Tosfot, Rabbi Yonah, and the Rambam all think that gossip is, Lashon Hara is gossip. So they're going to try to figure out, then how does this fit into our sugya? As we're going to see, several of them are going to take variations of what Yaakov said, which is, maybe what our sugya is talking about is not objectively bad information, it's contextually bad information, and when you're talking about information which is contextually bad or contextually good, what determines whether it's good or bad? How you say it and who you say it to, right? And therefore they will read into our sugya a very specific type of gossip, in which context is everything. And only in that context does that have anything to do with machab. Okay, that's what we're going to see next time. We'll see. I mean, the Rishonim just here really Rashbam, Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah. So I guess next time, look at that. And like I said, if at any point you want to see the English version of it, you have all the articles in which I discuss it, right, at length. But that's what we'll do, okay?